Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We know who runs the route, but now it's time.
But now it's time to dive into the guys throwing the ball.
Welcome to QB Class.
Presented by Reception Perception. Here's your host,
Zach Miller and Derek Clapton.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of QB Class. I'm your co-host, Zach Miller, here with QB guru Derek Klassen, and today we're going to break down 2024 NFL draft prospect out of UNC, Drake May, and his QB stats. How you doing today, Derek?
Doing okay. Still reeling from the combine, trying to get my bearings back together after a full week of too many steak dinners, too many drinks, too many 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 3 a.m. nights. I know you went on a trip too, so this might not be our most put-together show, but we're going to do our best for old Drake May here.
Yeah, we're a fake jet lagged. Neither of us traveled out of the country, but it feels when you leave California to the Midwest, it kind of feels like you've moved out of the country right for a little bit.
100%. 100%.
Well, this is your boy here, Drake May, UNC. Spoiler alert that it's your boy here. But I know you're pretty high on Drake May. I really hadn't formed too much of opinion on him coming into film, coming into your charting. So I was kind of a blank slate here. But I'm very excited to hear some of the things that you want to highlight about him. The charting, I think, took me by surprise a little bit. And I'm excited for you to look, kind of to take a deeper look into that as well. And that's what we do here. That's what we're here for. So go ahead and, yeah, start us off. What are your quick takes on Drake May? Kind of your highlights of what you like so much about him.
I like the very, very basic tenet of why I like him is look at all of the top quarterbacks in the league. Look at Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. I've said it before, Lamar is kind of the outlier in terms of like body type. But even he has gotten up to like, you know, 6'2", 220 this past year because he, you know, took off some speed, you know, gained some weight so he could take some hits. All of those guys clear that threshold that I just talked about where it's like 6'2", 220. Awesome athletes, awesome arm. Drake May checks every box. So like just from a very like basic prototypical I'm playing Madden, I'm building a quarterback standpoint, he checks all of those boxes to me. And then I think there are just some very like finer points of his game that I really, really appreciate. I think his pocket management is unbelievable. I think the way that he identifies and adjusts to blitzes pre-snap is like pretty special for a guy who's only played two seasons and is, you know, 21 years old. It's the same thing I said about Trevor Lawrence coming out of Clemson, where he just has this like innate ability to understand where pressure is coming from and how to adjust to it and how to make sure the play doesn't go awry, which I think is unbelievable. And then, you know, I already kind of mentioned it, but the arm talent to me is just, it's sensational. It's different from Caleb's because, you know, Caleb Williams, I think, has like a more loose arm. And I think he can access probably a couple more interesting and unique throwing platforms that Drake can't, which isn't really a knock on Drake. Like Caleb is just kind of unique in that way. But I think the ball pops out of Drake May's hand a little bit different. Like I think the velocity and some of the arc that he can throw with is just a little bit different. I think especially when you look down the field, and that's, we'll get into the charting in a little bit, but that's really his best area when you look at the charting is down the field. So to me, he's just a guy where he checks a lot of the like boxes to where this guy can be a really, really high end player and has a couple of the, you know, special traits, just looking at pocket management and stuff like that, that I really value. So he just, you know, he's not a perfect prospect. We'll get into that a little bit, but he just checks a lot of the boxes that I think can make a top 7-8 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, plus like the term perfect prospect is kind of,
it's nonsense.
Yeah, it's a nonsense term. No one's a perfect prospect. Everybody, there's never been a perfect prospect. There never will be a perfect prospect. But Drake May is definitely exciting. I remember there was so much hype almost out of Sam Howell out of UNC from what he did there. And it's like Drake May is like juiced up more than that. Like all the things that made you exciting about Sam Howell are like 10 times as much out of Drake May. So I think he's a super exciting prospect, and there's been a lot of smoke for sure. Obviously with the combine and some players throwing and some players not throwing, that quarterbacks are going up and down and dropping. It reminds me a lot of what happened with CJ Stroud last year, where as we got closer to the draft, it was like, oh, should he even be the 2? Should he be the 3? Should he be the 4? I see that a lot with Drake May, and kind of, well, he didn't throw at the combine. Neither did Caleb. Neither did Jaden Daniels. Really, only JJ threw at the combine. Which, were you bummed about that at all when you were there? That kind of all of the quarterbacks weren't going to throw?
A little. Well, I expected Caleb and Drake to just not throw. I mean, to me, they're so clearly head and shoulders above everybody else, which it, to your point, it doesn't seem like Drake May actually is for some people, which, again, ridiculous. I did expect Jaden to throw, but then again, I thought about it more and I was like, well, Jaden Daniels is probably trying to add 15 pounds and doesn't want to like throw with, you know, maybe his mechanics feel a little bit different and weird. But it was a little bit disappointing that the only like first round quarterback throwing was JJ. Good, yeah, for him, I mean, though. I mean, I think it helped him.
Yeah, it did definitely. I mean, when you're the only one that people can talk about, right, throwing at the combine, I'd say it's for sure going to help you. I'm excited to break into these charting. You were talking about his under pressure success rate. Well, I want to talk about that a little bit, because that's one of the areas of his game that you highlighted, is like reading the blitz, determining where pressure goes. But if you're looking at his stats and his charting, so far he's not so great there. Compared to some of the other prospects, his pressure success rate is about 51.15%. He was under pressure on about 25% of your sampled pass attempts, which is usually about 131, which is pretty high for this sample size. So he was under pressure a lot. But his success rate at 50% isn't bad, isn't great, just kind of in the center there. Talk to me a little bit about how, like, you can be so good against the blitz, but then your success rate numbers are not necessarily there.
Yeah, this is probably going to come off as cope, but I think a lot of it is just like the structure of the offense. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. The big one is just that offensive line was criminal this year. And so I think you just kind of naturally end up in a point where like not every pressure is equal. Like, I will still chart certain things as a pressure, but like there might be a pressure where you get two guys coming in from different points of the pocket and there's really nowhere to go and there's not a good platform. Whereas you might just have like, your left guard is kind of in your lap, which is like, to me, more what happened a lot with Jaden Daniels, which I think is why his numbers look a lot better. With Drake May, I think you just got a lot of really, really difficult situations like that. I think the other thing with May is that he kind of preemptively beats pressure before it actually arrives. So you kind of end up in this like survivor bias spot where the like, because he's beating pressure before it arrives, like blitzes, like he's not actually letting guys get home. When it does get home, it's kind of a nightmare because like somebody's not open or like, you know what I mean? So like he's almost punished in the pressure success rate because he's beating it before it gets there. So I think that's really a lot more of what's going on. I think it's really not an issue of him, like I said, not being able to see it, not being able to throw under pressure. You know, we're going to do the YouTube show part, and I've got plenty of clips of him throwing under pressure that just seem completely ridiculous for a college player. So it is a little bit, you know, disappointing that he doesn't have insane numbers there as opposed to when I watch him. I think he's unbelievable there, but I think he does enough. And again, I think when you consider the context of how bad the offensive line was, and truthfully, how bad a lot of his receivers were, specifically at beating man coverage, I'm not like all that worried about what happened there with those numbers.
I know you highlighted the man coverage in your notes a little bit as well. He finished with about a 50% success rate versus man, which is pretty low in the class.
It's not good.
Not great. His zone success rate at a 72% is definitely doable. Like, that's not anywhere. That's above Caleb. But the man success rate is a little bit disappointing in my eyes, but it's not that. Like, you got to understand with how many routes we charted. He had 153 man attempts in this class, which is almost 30 more than any other QB prospect that we chart. So you have 30 more sample sets to get there. He's just slightly below JJ McCarthy on man, who also not great in the man coverage. Talk to me a little bit about what you saw there. I know you kind of mentioned tight windows, a little bit about his receivers not being able to get open, which is a big thing as well.
I really think it's the receiver thing. Like, I swear almost every game I'm watching North Carolina, and every time man coverage is called on the defense, they just like cannot get off of man coverage. Like, his best receiver is supposed to be Tez Walker, who granted only played like the back half of the season really, but Tez is not a guy who is like a route runner, beats man coverage, gets open, all that stuff. Like, he's like Corey Coleman, where he just runs down the field really fast and can kind of track the ball a little bit. Like, that's more the style of player he is. And I think that's fine. And that truthfully is probably why helps Drake May's like downfield numbers a little bit, because Tez does get open in those situations. But when you're just like purely trying to beat man coverage, especially on like third down or like second and pass, all that other stuff, this was just not a receiving core that to me got open very consistently. And, you know, to give them a little bit of fairness, I don't think this offense does really a whole lot to help them. Like, this is not an offense to me that did a whole lot with like motion and like using a lot of like pick routes and stuff like that to get guys open. It was very much like, we're running like 2x2 spread concepts and we're just going to pray somebody wins. And it's like, that's cool when you're playing App State or whatever. It's not cool when you're playing, you know, Duke's defense was really good this year, or Clemson or NC State, teams like that. It's like when you're playing legitimate ACC competition, it's just not going to cut it. So I think that's really more what it comes down to. I mean, I will say Drake does have issues with touch at times. And I think that's really where, you know, some of the man coverage stuff pops up. And I've said that about JJ McCarthy. I've said that about other quarterbacks in the past, but to me, it's a little bit less about that and more about like these guys just don't get open, because his tight window success rate is actually good. Like, it was like 46%, which is a little bit above the NFL average last year and like pretty much in line with Caleb Williams. Like, it's good. It's just for whatever reason against man coverage specifically, it just doesn't connect.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, and that's definitely something I want to bring up with when you're listening to this show or when you're looking at our data on the site. This college stuff is just inherently going to be a little bit more volatile. We see that with Matt's wide receiver work. It's just different than the NFL. where the NFL offenses tend to have a little bit more kind of symmetry, where you're like, okay, we can kind of compare these at a really good level. The competition level is the same. Everything is going to be very, very similar in the NFL. That gets so much more volatile as soon as you bring in college. Like, these guys are not playing the same teams. They're not playing the same competition level. Everything is different. The offense can be night and day between the two, which makes these shows so much more important, because if you're just looking at the data, you're looking at the sheets, you could be like, okay, this guy's bad compared to this guy. But there is a little bit more grain of salt, which is why we do what we do, because perception isn't all about just the data. We get that from the film, and film always has a little grain of salt. So just wanted to throw that out there of like, this is going to be a little bit more volatile than the NFL stuff. That's just bound to happen. It's not an issue. It just means we have to look a little further to get under the surface of some of these prospects and like what makes them good versus what they could work on. As a deep passer, I think that's what has a lot of people really excited about Drake May. We saw the video of him launching it against the goalpost. I mean, at least I saw that. Everybody tweeted that out. And that reflects on his profile pretty nicely. 73.3% in the deep middle of the field is something that really stood out to me looking at that. That's a phenomenal mark on those. He threw a lot of nine routes, had really good success on nine routes. Is that similar to what you saw to JJ McCarthy in his deep passing, where there's a lot of seams in the offense, or is that something that we're seeing different from Drake May?
No, it actually is pretty similar. Truthfully, I would say the difference is like Mays are usually even further down the field because his arm is even better, which again is not to take away from JJ really. It's just like Mays' arm is truly that special. I would say May is a better like nine ball thrower outside the numbers, because I think, again, he just has this ability where the ball just pops out of his hand and he puts like perfect arc on a ball, high velocity, 40 yards down the field, pins it on a guy. That's really, really hard to do, to have that level of like velocity and still get the arc to where it's over a defender and like getting a guy in stride, as opposed to, you know, just like praying you hit him dead in the chest from like 40 yards out. Like giving it that loft, I think, is really difficult, and he does that. I would say the other thing is too, yeah, a lot of the seam routes and like deep posts in this offense, man, he can rip it. Like if someone's playing like trail, he can like put it up and put it over a guy and still get velocity and get the arc over it. If somebody's playing over the top and he needs to like lead it back a little bit and like flatten it out and put it over the middle of the field, absolutely can do that. There's a clip against, I want to say it was maybe against Pitt, where he has to do something like that, where he's got to like bring a post and like flatten it back out into the front of the end zone, and he does it. So like, I just think the arm talent down the field is absolutely insane. And I remember talking about James with this on about CJ Stroud last year when we were talking about the quarterbacks. CJ Stroud's deep passing was like unbelievable. And, you know, James is kind of talking to the point of like, the deep ball ability is really what kind of sets the ceiling for a player. And for Drake May to, I think, be the best deep ball passer in the class, pretty good arrow for him to have in his quiver.
Yeah, it really unlocks a different ceiling you have there. An alarming part of it, though, is what's up with this short area stuff? I mean, obviously, I'm not tracking this data the way you're tracking. So I'm just looking at these charts. And what's up with this line of scrimmage stuff? What's he got going on there where he's still good? You know, he's sitting at 90%, 91%, 87%. But on those throws at the line of scrimmage, I expect at least one of them to be sitting in the green with these quarterback prospects. So talk to me a little bit about what's going on there with Drake May.
Okay, so on the left to right, he was, okay, so 10, he was 10 of 11 to the left side behind the line of scrimmage, 7 of 8 to the right side. Only missing one on very small samples is going to just knock you under, because it's a very like high bar to clear to get into the green. So that I'm not that worried about. He's 53 of 58 between the numbers. That to me is actually where you see less of like a quarterback's accuracy. Like quarterback accuracy to me is more the stuff outside the numbers. Between the numbers is more just like the offensive line it just got in the way of something, or like I think that to me is basically like screens gone awry. It's basically what happens there. And they tried to run a lot of them in that offense. When you have a terrible offensive line, you're naturally going to have a couple of spots where that just goes wrong. Like JJ McCarthy, by contrast, 33 of 35. That offensive line was very good. That screen game was very, very well designed. So it was just easier for him to get there. Whereas May, you just kind of had more opportunities to mess it up because the offensive line was garbage. So if he was like terrible outside the numbers, I'd be more concerned. Like that was a big thing I had with Davis Mills. Was Davis Mills missed like a lot of screens outside the numbers. I was like, dude, you can't do that. Like you have to get it there. So I'm not too worried about Drake May's behind the numbers stuff, or behind the line of scrimmage stuff.
I actually, like, it's going to be such a lukewarm take, but I see so much like similarity between JJ McCarthy and Drake May, other than the fact that Drake May just has the physical tools to be able to pull off the things JJ can't. And I think that's,
it's kind of a good thing, actually. Yeah.
It's just like, I see JJ being ballooned up for all of these things that he can do, which he can do. Like he has really good arm strength. He has really good ability to read the blitz. It's just all the same things that I can see out of Drake May, but Drake May kind of has that extra layer of like, he has a stronger arm. He can make those rainbow passes down the field where like it's dropping in a bucket. He is able to do the things JJ can, but also is like you said, he's got the build to see, like take these hits, see over the line, drop in the pocket. It feels like a lukewarm tape, but I'm starting to see people really jump JJ higher and higher. And I don't have any real issue with that because I do see the ceiling at JJ's game, but I just feel like Drake May is a little bit more polished of a prospect this point in his career. So I just have a little bit of confusion of where it comes from, whereas like, I don't want to hate on JJ, but I see it more with May.
And I think the other thing people need to consider, and again, this is not the takeaway from JJ. I don't want to be the, like, I hate JJ McCarthy guy, but like, go watch North Carolina's offensive line versus serious defenses. Go watch their receivers try to beat man coverage, and then tell me JJ McCarthy would look as good in that offense as Drake May. It's just, it wouldn't be close. Like to your point, Drake May is like, kind of has a lot of the same qualities, but like if he had the Mario mushroom where he's just bigger and better and stronger and faster. And so I just think like, yeah, Drake May kind of had, and that's actually what I think kind of, in a way, makes Drake a special prospect, is that there were still so many things gone wrong around him, and the supporting cast was worse in 23 than 22, and you still see like five really truly special plays a game. That's when you kind of have the feeling like, okay, this guy's, no matter what is around him, he's just kind of different. The consistency is not all the way there, but I don't know, he's a 21 year old on a really bad offense, and he kind of had to be the offense. So I'm not all that worried about him.
Talk to me about what your hopes are for him in the draft. I think you have him locked into your QB2 spot. I'm not sure, actually. We haven't talked about this yet, because we haven't finished all of the charting. We're down through four right now, which is a pretty clear tier break. To be 100% transparent, I have not finished my Jaden Daniels film watching. I'm a little behind on that matter, so I will refrain from making other comments. But where does Drake May slide in for you in this class?
I'm in the minority of people that think I would take him over Caleb, actually, like just barely. I think they're both phenomenal. I would draft them both number one overall, and I wouldn't even consider it. They're just both in the same class. And what I keep telling people is again, I think just because I prefer May slightly, it doesn't mean I think anything less of Caleb. Again, I would take him number one overall. Wouldn't even think about it if he were the only guy in the class. What separates it to me is just, if I think they're of equal quality as prospects, it's what I said at the top of the show. I'm going to take the guy that looks like Mahomes. I'm going to take the guy that looks like Josh Allen, the one that looks like Justin Herbert. Caleb is not like that small. He's like 6'1", 215, something in that range, which is really not all that small. It's not that different from like Aaron Rodgers. But May is like 6'4", 226, 227. And he's, to me, a better athlete, actually, than Caleb. Caleb is like a little bit like quicker and more spry in like short areas. And I think that helps him in and around the pocket. But when May gets to like stride out and run, I think he's significantly scarier than Caleb is. He's a terrifying presence in the open field. And for those that are interested in the YouTube show, I have one clip where Drake just in the open field is a completely different beast. It's closer to Josh Allen than like Daniel Jones or Mariota or anything like that.
Where do you want to see him land? Because this has been something that I've kind of toyed back and forth with, because it seems like the top eight picks or so are getting more and more volatile by the day. But what are you looking for here with Drake May? Because I think this will be one of the first places we kind of disagree on the show.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I mean, I would want him in Chicago, but that's very obviously not going to happen. I think the Bears are taking Caleb, which is fine. I don't want him in Washington because I think listeners of this show might know that I'm not the biggest Cliff Kingsbury fan.
Neither of us are the biggest Cliff Kingsbury fan. We are united front there.
Yeah, there we go. I would rather him not be stuck with all of that. I actually really wouldn't mind New England. I think they need to shore up their offensive line. I think they very obviously need some more skill talent, but I oddly have a lot of faith in Jerod Mayo, even though we don't really know a whole lot about him. And I actually think that would be like a pretty good spot for him to land relatively. I think if for some godforsaken reason, like the Giants can go up and get him, I think that would actually be sick because I think physically he's not all that different from Josh Allen, and Brian Daboll obviously had a lot of success with Josh Allen. So that is probably like the ideal like landing spot among these groups for him is maybe the Giants, just because of Dable's experience with a similar quarterback. Again, they also need a lot of skill talent and a lot of offensive line talent, but that's true of basically everyone at the top of this draft outside of, funny enough, maybe Chicago.
Yeah, there's a reason you have a top five pick, and it's usually
exactly
because
like you're not there on accident.
You're weak on those positions. I do like the Bears there. I don't see it happening personally. I don't think either of us are predicting Drake May to go first overall. No. If you would have asked me a month ago, the Commanders would have been my absolute favorite spot for him. But then Eric Bieniemy is now gone at UCLA, which is a whole nother deal. And Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator. That changes my opinion on him drastically. I would have loved to see him in that offense where it was like, you have these quick throws that are coming out. You have like really good wide receivers. Scares me a little bit now, not going to lie. But I think I'm still on the Commander side just based off of the offensive talent that's there. I think New England's fun. I think they'd actually be a better development spot for him. Like you said, I have good faith in what they're doing there. But just from a surrounding talent position, I would really like to see him with wide receivers like Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson are the exact opposite of what we saw with him in UNC. They are two really good man separators.
Yes.
Like there's such
yes,
a difference.
Absolutely.
And like Curtis Samuel's probably
that
gone.
That might like you, shock his system. Guys who can just get open.
He'd look
well, I guess
out.
He had
he'd
it
be
with
like,
Josh Downs, but
yeah, true. Which very similar. Like Josh Downs and Jahan Dotson have like a very similar game to them. So definitely. I think it would be really comfortable for him. Cliff is the worst, so that sucks. But I think there would be such a special fit with those receivers. They have a blank slate on the defense, which is going to be really tough because they have so many needs as a team right now. But they have some good running backs. They have a really good offensive system to put around him. And I would really like to see him not thrown to the flames like New England, where your best wide receiver is probably still Juju, or I don't know if they bring back Kendrick Bourne. That worries me a little bit to where you're going to throw him in a system where it's like not as good offensive skill players as UNC, which is tough. Like that's, how do you go to the NFL and have just as bad of a situation as you did in college? So that worries me a little bit. I would really like to see him go number two or fall to the Falcons would be my preference here.
That would be insane, but absolutely delightful.
I just would like to see him go somewhere that I unlike JJ McCarthy, I do think Drake May is ready to start week 1-6 what anywhere in that range where I feel like he could probably start at the beginning of the season. I want him not to be fed to the wolves during that. So give him somewhere that has a wide receiver that can separate versus man coverage, a Terry McLaurin, a Drake London, wherever it is. And I don't see the Giants and the Patriots having that. So those would be my preferred spots.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I think we're just like approaching it from different angles where I'm like kind of approaching like the long term development where you're like, let's not kill this guy right away, which I think is also perfectly fine. Because I do think there are plenty of situations where guys just don't have a guy right away and then they fall into bad habits. And Drake has a couple of bad habits. For as much as I love him, he has his footwork can get a little bit sloppy. And I think there are a couple of instances where like once or twice a game, he does the Josh Allen golden retriever brain thing where he just does something that seems unfathomably stupid. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, maybe if he didn't have guys getting open, he would have five of those plays a game, which is not what you want. So I think that's a good point, though.
What are your concerns with him going into the NFL? Where do you think is because I do think there is most of these quarterbacks, there's rarely not bust potential. Where would you see that come from with Jake May?
It's almost solely his footwork. Like, okay, so I'll brush on the golden retriever brain thing very quickly. He does have like two plays a game where he seems like a complete idiot and does something just like out of his mind. There's a pick against Miami where he just like literally throws it at a defender. But I will say with those plays, I think down to down, he's actually really, really smart. And he just has these like complete brain lapses, which I don't know, man. Josh Allen is like that. Patrick Mahomes, for as wonderfully as he is, was like that for the first like 3 years of his career. I don't care about that stuff that much. You can fix that. To me, the biggest issue right now is Drake's footwork. It's why I think so. He's a really good passer in the 1-5 area, like almost an 84% success rate. That's because that's just like pure dropback footwork. 1-2-3 balls out. That's when he's throwing hot routes. That's when he's throwing like quick routes, just like quick game stuff that they run. I think he's really good at that. He gets sloppier like the further he gets down the field until the deep stuff. So like 6-10, he's like okay. And then 11-15 and 16-20, he's not very good, truthfully. His best throws are unbelievable because the arm talent is there. He can obviously fit it into tight windows. He's a very confident passer, so he can make those throws. I just think the further in the play he gets, his footwork can unravel a little bit and he'll be... I mean, like a good example of this is like Baker Mayfield can be a little bit all over the place. Like when he finishes his drop back, when he's like moving 1-2-3, it can like be a little bit untied to his eyes, if that makes sense. And I think Drake can be that way a little bit. And I think you especially saw as games maybe got tougher or got worse, he can kind of fall into that trap a little bit more where he just gets very like, it's not that he doesn't know what he's seeing. I think he just feels this need to like, oh my God, I have to make a play. And I think his footwork gets a little bit sloppy because of that. So I think if he struggles, especially early on, it's just going to be because he doesn't have like the footwork and pacing and timing of everything down to get there. I will also say the offense, I don't think is teaching it very well because there are certain concepts where like I look at it and I'm like, oh, that's 3-step footwork in the NFL or oh, that's 5-step footwork in the NFL. And he's doing like one and then just like dancing around. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not how it's supposed to be taught in the NFL. So they're probably just not teaching it all that well in this like BS 2x2 spread offense. So I'm hoping that with better coaching, he can fix that. But that would be my main concern right now.
All right, we're going to wrap this one up. If you're listening to this, Drake May's profile is already going to be on the site, going to drop him at the same time. So go check that out. You can see all the data. Derek's write up on him. And if you want to see our film breakdown, head over to the YouTube channel. I'll link that in the description of the Spotify or Apple, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And until next week, we'll see you guys next time.